Well, by way of introduction to what I want to share with you this morning, we've completed our series in the Reformation, so we're going to move from Sunday to Sunday as the Lord leads us. So what I want to bring to you this morning is something totally different. But really, by way of introduction, I want to pose to you a question that the prophet Amos brings in the third chapter and the third verse. There's no need to look at it. We're going to have three short readings in a moment elsewhere, and I will tell you what those are. But what he poses is this. The question that he asks is this. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And really what I want to do this morning is to talk about walking with God, our relationship with him, and particularly moving on with the Lord. But this question is a vital one that we face up to, because really what the Lord is saying, amongst other things in this prophecy, is that if you and I as individuals are going to walk with the Lord, there needs to be an agreement. Now, what, you may ask, are you talking about, or is the prophet talking about? Well, let me try and explain it to you. Actually, I think it's a help if I bring to you actually what the Hebrew is really saying. Can two walk together unless there is a meeting by appointment? A meeting by appointment. The word means a meeting, an agreement. It can mean an assembling together, a summoning even, and even a betrothal. So in the context of a proposed marriage, for example, you can see the sense of this. A walking together of two people has to be on the basis that there is an agreement. A meeting together. There's even an aspect of a covenant relationship here even. And friends, it's God's desire that we should walk with him. And this is not something that we should be drifting into, sort of happening in a rather casual, haphanded kind of way. But God's desire is that we should meet with him by appointment, that we should assemble to him, that we should gather to him, that we would direct our hearts to him and commit ourselves to the relationship that he wants to have with us. So friends, there is a question of attitude here and recognizing what God is calling us into. I don't think that's the only application of that question, though. I think you can apply it in a sense to Christians together, to believers together. For those of you who are at Bethel Christian Assembly, we need to walk together. And for that to happen, there needs to be a coming together. There needs to be a meeting together. You need to know what meetings, in inverted commas, the Lord is calling you to attend, to come to. It's your ability to walk with us is going to be severely limited and hindered if you only turn up on a Sunday morning, for example, or not even that. God's desire is that we should move on with him and move on with him together. Now, there are three accounts in the Old Testament where I find, at least in my version, your version may have something a bit different, but I'm going with the authorized version because that's the one that is authorized. And you find this little phrase and it says this: they too went on. They too went on. And that's really the subject of what I want to look at. Moving on with the Lord. So we're going to look at these three passages. We're not going to cover them all in detail for the sake of time. And we're just going to look at what they teach us about moving on with the Lord. And the first one is in Genesis chapter 22. And I was interested to note that this is actually the Torah portion for this weekend, if you follow such things. Genesis chapter 22. And we'll read from verse 3. Early early in the morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. There's the phrase. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he replied, "Here I am, my son." And Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. The two of them went on. So that's the first reading. What is involved in moving on with the Lord, in having that agreement with him? Two things I think I want to draw out from this little passage here. The first, and really you don't need me to explain these things, they're obvious, aren't they? The first one is obedience. Abraham was told by the Lord to go to a certain place. And friends, if we are going to move on with the Lord, there needs to be that obedience. And as we heard last Sunday, that this is the essence of faith. Faith is obedience to the revealed mind and will of God. Abraham responded to what the Lord had told him to do. And that expression of obedience was absolutely vital. It was part of his faith. And friends, if we are going to move on with the Lord, we need to do what the Lord is telling us to do, however costly and however difficult it may seem to be. And for Abraham, I mean, this must have been the most unbelievable thing that God was asking him to do, to take the son of promise, that son that God had given him miraculously, and be willing to sacrifice him. And friends, I understand, and I'm sure you do, many of you, that this is prophetic. This is speaking so much about the father being willing to sacrifice his son, his only beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not focusing on that today. I'm rather focusing on Abraham's attitude and Abraham's response to God as a man of faith. And he was being asked to do this unbelievably difficult thing to do, and yet he was willing to do it. And you may say, well, I'm never going to be asked to do anything like that. Well, maybe not. But do you remember what the words of the Lord Jesus were in Luke chapter 9? He says, if anybody is going to come after me, if anybody's going to walk with me, if anybody's going to move on with me, there must be a taking up of our cross daily. And following him. If we choose to save our lives, we will lose it. And that would have happened with Abraham. If he'd said, "Oh no, Lord, I'm going to hang on to Isaac," what would have happened? There needs to be a willingness to take up that cross. There is a cost, friends. And for every one of us, that might be slightly different. But we need to be willing to lay down that which is dear to us, that which we hold on to so closely. It may be a relationship. It may be a possession. It may be an attitude. It can be all sorts of things. And we need to be willing to let it go. If we save our lives, we will lose it, the Lord says. But if we lose our lives for his sake, we will find it. This particular episode, Abraham goes with his young men so far. And there is a sense, you know, in which when we're walking with the Lord, we can walk with each other. There are others who accompany us along the way. And that's absolutely right and encouraging when that happens. But, you know, there comes a time where the Lord actually says to us, there's a particular journey that we have to go through, and it's going to be with him alone. And sometimes not even a husband or a wife or a close friend can actually completely go along with us on that particular road. But we have to do it, friends. And when we do that, there has to be a willingness to let go. So are you willing to lay down what is dear? This is what the Lord is saying. If we're going to move on with him, if we're going to walk with him, this is the appointment. This is the summoning. This is where the fixing of our heart's attitude is going to be critical. Look, please, at verse 5, though. And again, in other contexts, I'm sure that many of you have thought about this before. You know, there's a particular place that the Lord wants to bring us to. And I suppose I'm speaking really what I sense in my heart is that for some of us, you've been marking time. You've not been moving on with the Lord, and the Lord's saying, now I want you to move on from here. You know, don't keep looking back at what the Lord has done for you in the past, however good that may have been. You need to move on with the Lord from where you are now. Don't just drift. Don't just be passive. And the Lord wants to bring us into a new place with him. However difficult it may be, or you may see it to be, look at what this is saying here. The faith of this man, stay here with the donkey, the boy and I will go over there to worship, then we will come back to you. Isn't that a conviction that there is a resurrection from the dead even? He's saying we'll go, but we will also come back. Friends, this is part of our worship, this walking with the Lord, this moving on with the Lord. And if the Lord is apparently asking you to do something which you find impossible or unbelievable or unfair or whatever it is, friends, there's a resurrection at the end of it. There is a hope at the end of it. It's worth moving on with the Lord. So the Lord wants you to come to that place in verse 9. When they arrived at the place God had told him about. Maybe you have another complaint about the Lord if he's asking you to do something. I mean, think of Isaac. He could only go so far in his understanding. Father, here's the fire and the wood, but we haven't got everything that we need. And you know, sometimes when the Lord asks us to do things, we don't respond because we think, well, the thing's incomplete. You know, we haven't got all that we need for us to obey God. And Abraham's answer is, the Lord will provide. So whatever the Lord tells us to do, no matter how difficult we may think it's going to be, no matter how lacking it may seem to be, no matter how many unanswered questions there may seem to be, the Lord says, just do what I'm saying to you to do. Move on with me. So moving on with the Lord, from this account, they too went on. It's a picture, or at least there are lessons to be drawn here in our relationship to the Lord, is going to involve costly obedience, and it's going to involve absolute trust in the Lord. Are we willing for that? So that's the first time that we read of this little phrase, they too went on. The second occasion is in the book of Ruth. And if you'd like to move a little bit further into the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. This is another journey that is taken by a Jewish lady called Naomi, who married somebody who made a very wrong decision, namely to go away from the land of promise and to go somewhere where he thought the blessing was. Certainly there was provision of food there, but there's an important lesson. It's better to be in the place of promise, even though there is famine and hardship, than it is to go for the blessing and be out of the will of God. It's a very vital lesson. And he dies there, and their two children die there, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And Naomi returns to Jerusalem, and she goes, I beg your pardon, to Bethlehem. And she goes to Bethlehem with the daughter-in-law of one of those sons. The other one had chosen to stay behind in Moab, but Ruth, the Gentile, joins Naomi in this journey to Bethlehem, the place of provision where God had eventually met his people and where there was food. And so we find in these two little verses, 18 and 19, they read as follows. They read as follows, I beg your pardon. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to persuade her. The two of them travelled. They too went on until they came to Bethlehem. Very short reading. They too went on until they came to Bethlehem. Friends, in our journey with the Lord, there is always an end in view. There is always a place where the Lord wants us to get to. Here, it was Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the place of provision. It literally means the house of bread. Naturally, it's the breadbasket of Israel. And it is here that God was going to provide for Naomi and for Ruth. Friends, your breadbasket is right in front of your noses, on your laps. It is the scriptures, it's the word of God. Your breadbasket comes from here, inspired by the Holy Spirit. For some of you, walking on with the Lord, moving on with the Lord, means that you need to get out of the place where there is famine and hardship and difficulty and death. Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion, remember, all died in the land of Moab. You need to get out of that place and you need to come to the place of provision. And if your spiritual sustenance is based entirely on other things other than the scriptures and the word of God, friends, it's not going to do you any good at all. This is your breadbasket. And you need to come to it and you need to feed on it regularly. And the whole book of Ruth, at least part of the book of Ruth, part of the lesson of the book of Ruth, is to see the devotion and the commitment that this Gentile woman, who had absolutely nothing and no right to anything, could come into that place and begin to feed and begin to pick up the crumbs and begin to pick up the grain. Are you in Bethlehem? Are you in the house of bread? Move on. But Bethlehem, of course, also speaks of the Lord Jesus, because it was out of him. I mean, he is the bread of life. And for some of you, moving on with the Lord means that you need to come to him afresh. Come to him continually. Let him provide for you. Let him feed you. Let him satisfy you. Don't just drift. And my friends, you have every opportunity to drift. There were two daughters-in-law. And Naomi said to one, go back to Moab. She said to both of them, go back. I'm going back to Bethlehem. You'll have nothing if you come with me. And they both lifted up their eyes and they cried buckets, as women sometimes do. But with one, it was crocodile tears. I won't comment. Because Orpah said, oh, no, they both said, we'll come with you. She says, no, go back. At that point, Orpah said, all right, I'll stay. And we hear no more of her at all. It's the end of the story. She misses out on so much. What does Ruth do? No crocodile tears here. Look at her attitude. Verse 16, do not persuade me to leave you or go back and not follow you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and even more, if anything but death separates you and me. And there is so much there that we could look at. But friends, what is she demonstrating? Well, verse 18 is really what she's saying. This is the basis on which the two of them went on. When Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded, and that's the next thing I want to bring out in our relationship to the Lord, in our moving on with the Lord, we are going to need to be steadfastly minded. And that's the quality that Ruth showed. This little phrase, steadfastly minded, in my version, it may say determined. It has the idea of the meaning of it, of to be courageous, to be alert, and to be strong. And these are the qualities that this dear lady showed. These are the qualities you and I are going to need to show if we're going to move on with the Lord. And the Lord is saying, can two walk together unless we have this attitude, unless we're determined, unless we respond to this call? Well, you must take it, whatever applies to you, whichever of these three passages is particularly relevant for you, you must just take it for yourself. But the Lord wants us to be steadfastly minded. There was a story, true one, I think, of an old missionary, wise man. And in the course of his life, in the course of his work, he brought many to know the Lord. I don't even know whereabouts it was. But on one occasion, a young believer came to him and said to him, whatever his name was, will you please teach me? Please will you show me? He said, I want to be a missionary. I want to serve the Lord. Please will you show me how I may come into that place where God may use me? I wonder what you would have said if you'd been in that person, if you'd been in his shoes. Let me tell you what he said. He dismissed him and said, go away. Don't bother me. And moved away. And the man said to the young man, go away. The young man pursued him, went after him, said, I really want to know. Please, will you tell me? This is serious business here. I really want to know because I want God to be able to use me. The man dismissed him again. And I don't know how many times it went on. But eventually the man said, I will not leave you until you jolly well show me what it is that I need to do to come into a place where God can use me. And at that point, the missionary said, sit down. I'll talk to you. Do you get the point? Friend, there are times even when the Lord may appear to say, go away. We mustn't drift. The Lord is looking for that steadfast mind, which takes us really on to the third reading, which is to be found a little bit later on. So if you keep turning right, and eventually you get to 1 Kings, you get to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, but you don't stop there. You need to move on through 1 Kings, and please go to 2 Kings. Chapter 2. The second book of Kings and chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 4. And Elijah said to Elisha, wait here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. That's really what I've been explaining in that story with that missionary. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he answered, yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Authorized speak for shut up, zip it up or something. Elijah said to him, tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives, I will, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took the mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that the Lord... I beg your pardon, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you." And Elisha said, "I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so to you. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. If the Genesis story is speaking about obedience and trust, the Ruth incident is speaking about a steadfast mind. This one is speaking above all about perseverance. Let's take it from the beginning of the story, from verse 1. Elijah and Elisha are on this journey. Their journey together has much to instruct us about our moving on with the Lord and the things that the Lord wants to do for us at various stages of our Christian lives, in order for us to come to a place where God can even anoint us for ministry. And that's really what verses 11 and 12 is all about at the end of that. But will you please notice, God has marvellous purposes for Elisha. God has marvellous purposes for you. Move on with him. Come into the fulfilment of those things. And in order for that to happen, you need to have a walk with the Lord. You need to be moving on with the Lord to that end. What's it going to involve? It's going to involve, notice from verse 1, it says Elijah went from Gilgal. Gilgal is the place to do with the putting off of the flesh. We have to move on from a certain place where we are to move on to the next stage. Amongst other things, each one of us has to get through Gilgal. We have to get through the lessons which we need to learn to put off that old nature, to deal with it, to carry our cross daily. This is really all it's speaking about. But friends, it may be that the Lord has already brought you to a particular place. Will you notice that in order to move on to the next place, you've got to leave the previous place behind? It's obvious, isn't it? And Elijah and Elisha move from Gilgal. I wonder if I'm speaking to anybody and the Lord's saying, "Now come on, just move from where you are. Just take that next step." And then in verse 2, notice what that next step is. The next place, Bethel, which speaks of other things. I haven't got time to explain to that. But it says, verse 2, they went down. So they went from, in verse 1, in verse 2, they went down. Our walk with the Lord, for some of us, at certain points in our lives, is going to mean a going down. Hardship, a descent, and we think, well, why on earth am I doing this? Let's move on from there. Verse 4. There is a coming to. They came to Jericho. Now, the interesting thing to me is that in each of these places where Elijah and Elisha travelled, there were a group of people who are called here the sons of the prophets. They could be, they could represent all sorts of people. For example, other believers, other Christians, others that we know. And at every stage of our walk with the Lord, we will always find those that will say, be quite happy to say, "Now just stay here." And these people represent groups of people who will mark time, who get so far and will not move on. And it's tragic to me that with all these prophets, any one of whom could have fulfilled Elijah's ministry, it took only one, and that was Elisha, to press through to that place where the anointing and the mantle could come on him. So what's the Lord saying to us in our walk with him? Don't be put off by others. And friends, if you're in that category, let me encourage you. Don't be put off by others. And it may be that these others will involve you in a bit of theological debate. Do you know that your master will be taken away from you today? I wonder whether it'll happen tomorrow, never, before the tribulation, afterwards, whatever it is. And what does he say? Be quiet. Because it's not the issue. The issue is, I'm going to move on with the Lord. Now, you'll get there eventually. You'll understand these other things. But friends, don't be one of those sons of the prophets, I beg of you. Verse 7. What do these sons of the prophets do? Would you notice they stood and they watch. They view everything from a distance. Are you viewing things from a distance? Yes, I can see what it means to follow the Lord, but I'm going to just look at it. I'm going to hold it at arm's length. These two stood by the Jordan. Moving on with the Lord is going to involve a waiting. Here, there was nothing Elisha could do until Elijah had taken the mantle and divided the waters. We'll come on to that in a minute. But there was a standing and there was a waiting. You need to press on and be willing to stand in the place where God has already brought you to, and as well as moving on, of course. And then in verse 8, the most incredible thing happens. The Jordan waters that were parted when Israel crossed over into the promised land are parted again. Friends, the age of miracles is not over. Whatever God needs to part for you, the Lord can part for you. You can go over on dry ground. Indeed, unless the Lord parts things for you, unless the Lord does the miraculous, unless you know his resurrection power, your relationship with the Lord is inevitably going to be limited. But these two went over. And then verse 11. Having said in verse 6, they too went on, we find exactly the same thing in verse 11. It came to pass as they still went on. And really this is where I want to bring the message of this morning to a conclusion. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for years. Be like Elisha. At the end of your years, you're still going on. You're still going on. And talked. Notice they still went on, not in silence. Here they talked. Are you talking with the Lord? Are you sharing fellowship with him? They still went on. And the Lord is able to bring you into that place of increasing usefulness and fruitfulness. Perseverance is what is required. Don't be put off by anybody or anything else. I started by posing a question in Amos 3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Let me conclude by a statement rather than a question, which you will find observed by Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes. And he says this, don't turn to it, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, and it says this, simply this, two are better than one. They have a great reward for their labour. You may think that having looked at these things and thinking, considering these three passages where you find this little phrase, they too went on, you're thinking, is it worth it? Is it worth the cost? Is it worth the steadfastly mindedness that's going to be needed? Is it going to be worth making a few enemies or at least losing a few friends by telling them to wrap up? And the Lord says, two are better than one. It's better to walk with the Lord. It really is, than be on your own. Two are better than one. They will have a great reward for their labour. I'm not trying to minimise the labour. There is going to be labour involved. But there is a tremendous reward. And each one of these three incidents we've been looking at, there is a reward at the end of it. There's a place that all three accounts speak about, where the people come to. It's, you know, so some of you, if you're thinking, oh, well, I've got to do this, it's going to take years. No, friends, not. You're all right. I'm sorry if you're going through a hard time, if you're having to go through a valley, if you're going through a really costly time. But it's limited. It need be limited anyway. You've got to walk with the Lord until you come to that place. And when you come to that place, resurrection can kick in. And God can intervene. But are we willing to go through it? There is a tremendous reward for our labour. And all three of them, Ruth, Elisha and Abraham in his way, and Isaac, they all came to the destination. May the Lord move us on from here. I feel it's been a rather simple message in some way, but I don't apologise for that. I want to pose the question to you. Are you moving on with the Lord? It's as simple as that, really. Are you moving on with him? They too went on. May it be said of you, Simon and the Lord moved on. You and the Lord moved on. And to some extent, therefore, as well, that as a church, as an assembly here, that we move on with the Lord together. There are other things, of course, to say about that which we can't touch. Let's pray, please.